From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, highlight of the week, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo attends Asian UN Summit and RCEP Summit. East Asia Summit must improve regional health resilience and stability. Now the news in details. On the last day of the 37th Asian Summit series, which take place on Sunday, November 15, President Joko Widodo will attend a number of conferences virtually from the Bogor Presidential Palace, West Java. The president will start the series of events by attending the 11th Asian UN Summit. Furthermore, the president will also attend the 4th Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership RCEP Summit. Quoting the press release of the Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs on November 9, RCEP is a free trade agreement in the region involving 15 countries. The agreement aims to open market access, provide trade and investment facilities, and promote regional economic integration. In the midst of efforts to recover the economy due to the current COVID-19 pandemic, the signing of the RCEP agreement is expected to help increase business confidence while maintaining regional and global industrial and supply chain stability, as well as demonstrating regional support for an open, inclusive, and rules-based multilateral trading system. The 37th Asian Summit series will be closed with a closing ceremony, which will take place Sunday afternoon. At the closing ceremony, there will be a handover of Asian chairmanship from Vietnam to Brunei Darussalam. President Joko Widodo continues to encourage the building of strategic trust among member countries of the East Asia Summit to strengthen cooperation. This was conveyed by the president in a virtual speech at the 15th East Asia Summit Saturday from the Bogor Presidential Palace in West Java. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi said, "The East Asia Summit has great potential which can be utilized for regional and global development."
Presiden mengirim pesan yang sangat kuat bahwa sebagai forum dialog tingkat pemimpin, EAS harus terus.
The president sent a very strong message that as leader-level dialogue forum, EAS must continue to be used to build strategic trust to strengthen cooperation. East Asia Summit capital is very large because 5 EAS members sit on the UN Security Council. 8 East Asia Summit members are members of the G20, and East Asia Summit represent 54% of the world's population and 58% of the world GDP. With this potential, any agreements and efforts made by EAS will have a big impact on the region and the world. On this occasion, according to Minister Retno, President Joko Widodo conveyed a number of things that were adjusted to the current condition. "The first thing that must be done immediately is to strengthen health resilience in the region. This issue has been a priority for EAS since its inception." The president said that in the short term, the availability of the COVID-19 vaccine in the region is a must. Meanwhile, in the long term, the region must prepare early to anticipate a pandemic that may occur again. In addition, according to Retno, President Joko Widodo said that EAS must be a driver of peace and stability in the region. "In the midst of the current difficult situation, the causes of division and conflict must not be allowed to develop further. Instead, all parties must unite and focus on fighting a common enemy, namely the COVID-19 pandemic." Furthermore, according to Ratno, the president conveyed that the values and norms agreed upon in the Bali Principle must be respected by all parties, starting from respecting sovereignty, solving problems peacefully, to commitments to international law, including the 1982 United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea. The president also conveyed the importance of promoting mutually beneficial dialogue and cooperation. According to Ratno Marsudi, the spirit of mutually beneficial cooperation is the spirit carried by the Asian through the Asian outlook on the Indo-Pacific. Therefore, President Joko Widodo invited all EAS countries to increase cooperation in realizing a peaceful and prosperous Indo-Pacific. President Joko Widodo encouraged the ability of Asian Plus 3 or APT countries to have regional health resilience mechanism. This reflects the experience of the current COVID-19 pandemic so that in the future, countries in the region can be ready to face future pandemics. During a virtual speech at the 23rd APT Summit on Saturday at the Bogor Presidential Palace, West Java, President Joko Widodo shared a number of his views on efforts to strengthen these health resilience mechanisms. According to Foreign Minister Ratno Marsudi, the president invited all countries to come out of the pandemic together as winners. For this reason, the first step that needs to be encouraged is the development of health resilience at the national level.
Tantangan masing-masing negara adalah membangun akses kesehatan dengan harga terjangkau. Kalau hal ini terwujud, maka akan sangat membantu memperbaiki ketahanan masyarakat dan kapasitas.
The challenge of each country is to build health access of affordable prices. If this is realized, it will greatly help improve community resilience and public health capacity in times of emergency. The capacity of digital health technology is very important as part of the public health infrastructure. Online access to telehealth services is becoming increasingly relevant during a pandemic. Therefore, the president said that the collaboration between Asian plus three countries is needed to build health infrastructure in each country. Furthermore, President Joko Widodo reminded the importance of cooperation in the health industry in the region. According to Ratno, President Joko Widodo again reminded the importance of cooperation in building a strong health industry, including in the fields of medical devices, medicine, medicinal raw materials, pharmaceutical, and even vaccine.
Tentunya industri ini harus ditopang oleh kapasitas riset.
Of course, this industry must be supported by research and development capacity, and therefore it is important for Asian plus three countries to build a medical sciences hub. President Joko Widodo also highlighted the importance of establishing a comprehensive regional framework. According to Ratno, this framework could be in the form of a system, standard procedure, early warning system, or a medical device availability system. In this case, Ratno said, President Joko Widodo saw the need for an Asian center to deal with issues of public health emergencies and emerging disease. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move it on to the international news. United States President Donald Trump skipped a virtual summit with his Southeast Asian counterpart on Saturday, the third year in a row that the U.S. is being represented at a lower level. National Security Advisor Robert O'Brien said Trump regretted he was unable to attend the online summit with the 10 members of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN, but stressed the importance of ties with the region. O'Brien said in remarks at the opening ceremony, which was live-streamed to Asian members watching from their respective countries, that at this time of global crisis, the U.S.-Asian strategic partnership has become even more important as they work together to combat the virus. Trump attended the Asian summit in 2017 but sent only representative during the last two meetings. A special summit with Asian that he was supposed to host in Las Vegas in March was called off due to the COVID-19 pandemic. President-elect Joe Biden is expected to take a historic step and select a woman to head the Pentagon for the first time, shattering one of the few remaining barriers to women in the department and the presidential's cabinet. Michelle Flournoy, a politically moderate Pentagon veteran, is regarded by U.S. official and political insiders as a top choice for the position. Her selection would come on the heels of a tumultuous Pentagon period that has seen five men hold the top job under President Donald Trump. The most recent Defense Secretary to go was Mark Esper, who was fired by Trump on Monday after pushing back on issues including troop withdrawals and the use of the military to quell civilian unrest. If confirmed, Flournoy would face a future that is expected to involve shrinking Pentagon budgets and potential military involvement in the distribution of a coronavirus vaccine. A swath of new restrictions to curtail a second wave of coronavirus infection were announced or came into force from Austria to Greece, Italy to Portugal on Saturday as the global death toll climbed above 1.3 million. More than 53 million have been infected worldwide by COVID-19, which is running rampant throughout America and Europe, forcing government to take more drastic action despite the potential economic devastation. In Italy, the regions of Tuscany and Campania, of which Florence and Naples are the respective capitals, plunk into red zones of tough restriction, which now cover 26 million of the 60 million population. Thousands of people fled their homes in Vietnam on Saturday as Typhoon Vanco barreled towards central regions already pummeled by weeks of successive storms. Thousands of people have been evacuated from their homes in four central provinces, according to the Disaster Management Authority, while state media said hundreds of thousands more may have to flee. The severe weather has also damaged or destroyed more than 400,000 homes, according to the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Spotlight of the Week on 37 Asian Summit produces 33 agreements. President Joko Widodo attended the 37 Asian Summit virtually from the Bogor Presidential Palace, West Java on Thursday, November 12, 2020, where Vietnam acted as the host. The series of Asian Summit that lasted until Sunday consisted of 17 meeting sessions and was attended by 10 Asian heads of states, governments, and 8 heads of countries, or Government of Asian Partner Countries. They mainly discussed joint steps to prevent the wider impact of COVID-19 pandemic on the region by emphasizing priority for cooperation in 2021, particularly regarding the presence and production of vaccine. The summit also discussed priorities for economic development in the region with partners to deal with the economic and social impacts of COVID-19. One of the initiatives carried out by Indonesia at the summit is an effort to build a joint commitment to immediately reopen connectivity and restore economic activity in ASEAN through the Asian Travel Corridor Arrangement, or TCA. TCA is expected to facilitate travel access for business people in Asian countries in new normal situation, which will observing health protocols. President Joko Widodo welcomed the issuance of the Asian Declaration on Travel Corridor Arrangement, or TCA framework, which was previously proposed by him at the 36th Asian Summit on June 26, 2020. The president also views another optimism, namely the signing of the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, RCEP. RCEP was successfully signed after Asian countries negotiated for approximately 8 years. The 37th Asian Summit produced a total 33 agreements document. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi said that they include the Hanoi Declaration on the Asian Community Post-2025 Vision, the Asian Comprehensive Recovery Framework, the Hanoi Declaration on Strengthening Social Networks Towards Cohesive and Responsive Asian Community, and the Asian Declaration on Digital Tourism, the Hanoi Declaration on the Adoptions of the Initiative for Asian Integration Work Plan 2021-2025, Asian Declaration on the Asian Travel Corridor Arrangement Framework, and Narrative of Asian Identity. Listener, that was this week's Spotlight. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History. I'll begin with November 15, 1946, when the Linggarjati negotiation happens. The Linggarjati negotiation is a negotiation between Indonesia and the Netherlands in Linggarjati, West Java, which results in an agreement regarding the status of Indonesian independence. The result of this negotiation was signed at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta on November 15, 1946, and legally signed by the two countries on March 25, 1947. In this negotiation, Indonesia was represented by Sultan Syahrir, the Netherlands was represented by a team called the General Commission and led by Wim Schermerhorn and H.J. Van Mook, with Lord Killian of England acted as a mediators in this negotiation. Next is from November 15, 1950, where the birth of Indonesian badminton player Lee Sumirat occurred. Lee Sumirat was born in Bandung, West Java, November 15, 1950. He was a member of the Magnificent Seven Indonesian badminton players in the 1970s with Rudy Hartono, Lim Swiking, Chun Chun, Johan Wahyudi, Christian Hadinata, and Ade Chandra. Lee Sumirat is known as a humorous and eccentric player while on and off the badminton court, even during matches. One of his famous eccentric acts was during the 1979 Thomas Cup final against Denmark. Suddenly, Lee danced Sundanese style in front of his opponent, Sven Prie. Lee Sumirat won 2-time champion gold medal in the Asian Games in 1966 and 1970, and world champion in 1976 in Bangkok, Thailand. The last is from 15 November 2002, World Lung Disease Day is established. November 15 is celebrated World Day for Chronic Obstructive Pulmonary Disease, or often abbreviated as COPD. COPD is a term used for a number of diseases that affect the lungs over the long term. This disease blocks the flow of air from the lungs so that the person will have difficulty breathing. Initially, World COPD Day was an annual event of the Global Initiative for Chronic Obstructive Lung Disease, or GOLD, which is celebrated every Wednesday of the second or third week of November. Since 2002, World COPD Day has been observed annually on November 15. Listener, that was Today in History. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansan kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qawwi intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmi.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overdragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Abid Hussain Sajid in Pakistan. He was listening to English program through frequency 3325 kHz on November 8, 2020. Hello, Mr. Abid Hussain Sajid. How are you? I hope you are listening to our program now. Thank you so much for your email on our broadcast. As appreciation, we will play a beautiful song. Here is the song.
Secret of my eyes. Can you feel what I
aku pun tak bisa lagi menahan rasa ini di dada. Haruskah ku katakan padanya ku jatuh cinta?
You are listening to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia today on government arranges grand design for Indonesian youth. The Minister of Youth and Sport Zainuddin Amali stated that the government is very serious about improving Indonesia's youth development, especially in facing the demographic bonus in the future. When opening the 2020 National Youth Sector Coordination Meeting virtually at the Ministry of Youth and Sport Jakarta on Monday, Minister Zainuddin Amali stated that one of the efforts the government is working on to achieve youth development success is the formulation of policies in the form of youth grand design. The grand design, according to the minister, is indispensable as a parameter or a measure of the success of Indonesia's youth development in every activity. It will be in line with the Youth Development Index of the National Development Agency. As for the preparation of the grand design, it must be done in synergy with other ministries and institutions. The development, empowerment, and coaching of youth activities, according to him, are not only the duties of the Ministry of Youth and Sport, but also all Indonesian stakeholders. The ministry's program, according to the minister, is in line with the National Midterm Development Plan, which stated that youth are the main actors and subject of development. Minister Zainuddin emphasized that the government strongly encourages young people, who comprise 24% of Indonesia's population, to be creative, innovative, and independent to achieve the Youth Development Index. The assessment is based on 15 indicators, each is grouped into 5 domains, namely education, health and welfare, employment and employment opportunities, participation and leadership, and gender and discrimination. The Minister of Youth and Sport Zainuddin Amali hopes that the result of the National Coordination Meeting can be a recommendation to the government in producing youth policies in the future. Listener, that was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia, COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio.
Harib COVID-19, dibakoikum til manazil.
Zusammen gegen Corona, wir bleiben zu Hause.
Stay at home, stay healthy, and together we can fight the coronavirus.
Bleib thuis, wasch je handen met zeep, draag je masker als je naar buiten gaat, neem de vitamine en zorg je gezondheid. Samen bestrijden we de coronavirus.
From Indonesia to the world.
reply an email from our listener, Madhav Chandra Sagur in India. He was listening to our broadcast in English program through frequency 3325 kHz. Hello, Mr. Madhav Chandra Sagur. Thank you for your reception report. I'm really sorry because our broadcast could not be heard clearly at that time. I will deliver this problem to technical division. I hope the problem will not happen again for the next time. Because of that, I need your help to always monitor and send your reception report on our broadcast. Thank you. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Here is the song.
Dengar jelas bintang utara memanggil satu hari yang dinanti terpancar terang di bawah langit terlihat jejak setapak mengarah dan ku sedang mengikuti sampaikan salam untuknya dari hati lalui tanah air udara kawan camat ikut bicara sampaikan bahwa aku dalam perjalanan membawa tembang hati arungi samudra untuk menemuinya di sana di bawah aurora. Tujuan terlihat dekat memandang garis batas di lautan yang membiasku kan datang sampaikan salam untuknya dari hati lalui tanah air udara kawan camat ikut bicara sampaikan bahwa aku dalam perjalanan membawa tembang hati arungi samudra untuk menemuinya di sana di bawah aurora. Kulalui tanah air dan udara. Dari hati lalui tanah air udara kawan camat ikut bicara sampaikan bahwa aku dalam perjalanan membawa tembang hati arungi samudra untuk menemuinya di sana di bawah
Service Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Hello my listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I will take you to relatively new tourist spot in Yogyakarta. Utilizing the flow of the Opak River and the rocks on the edge of the river, this tourist spot is very popular. The place is named Watu Kapal Tourism Park. Watu means rocks and kapal means boat or ship. It is so named because among the rocks there is one which is shaped like a boat. Watu Kapal Tourism Park, visitors can do fun activities such as river tubing and cliff jumping from a height. To do this, of course, you must be able to swim and have guts. The distinctive cliff shapes, greenish, clear, and clean river water with natural plants on the cliff make the color combination very fitting and very beautiful. Besides that, the air is very cool. The shady trees becomes one unit of refreshing natural scenery. It feels incomplete if we visit this place without capturing the beautiful times there. Many promising photo spots that can be used for group photos and selfies. The location of the Watu Kapal Tourism Spot is in Klenggotan Hamlet, Sri Mulyo Village, Piyungan District, Bantul Regency. It is approximately 13 kilometers from the center of Jogja City towards Wonosari and takes about 25 minutes to travel. Because this place is still relatively a new tourist spot, the manager has not yet charged visitors for entrance tickets. So, if you are in Yogyakarta, take the time to visit Watu Kapal Tourism Park that offers cliffs, natural, distinctive architecture made directly by nature and for humans to enjoy. Therefore, when visiting this place, make sure to keep the environment clean and not littering. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. We'll meet again tomorrow on the next location. I'm Nika Kusumawati. Sampai jumpa!
Now we will reply an email from another our listener, Pravotorov Konstantin in Ukraine. Through frequency 3325 kHz, Mr. Pravotorov Konstantin listened to our program in German language on November 11, 2020. Hello, Mr. Pravotorov. Thank you very much for your audios on our broadcast. Your email has been forwarded to German section. Please be patient for the reply. Thank you. As appreciation, we'll play a beautiful song. Here is the song.
Percaya kamu.
Listener, here is Miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Miscellany. The topic of this edition is Soekarno-Hatta Airport achieving health protocols accreditations equivalent to Singapore Changi Airport. Stay tuned. Soekarno-Hatta International Airport near Jakarta received accreditations in the health of hygiene sector, namely Airport Health Accreditations AHA for the Airport Council International ACHI. This accreditation was given because Soekarno-Hatta Airport was considered capable of implementing health protocols to prevent the spread of COVID-19. President Director of PT Angkasa Pura II Muhammad Awaluddin in a statement on Thursday, November 12, 2020 said, that Angkasa Pura II airports have implemented management and operational patterns that follow best practices in the global industry. According to Awaluddin, until now only two airports have received acceleration from the Airport Council International ACHI. In addition to Soekarno-Hatta Airport, ACHI provides accreditation to Singapore's Changi International Airport. The accreditation was given after ACHI saw the health protocols being implemented at the airport. The protocols must comply with the ACHI Aviation Business Restart and Recovery Guidelines as well as the ICAO Council Aviation Recovery Task Force or CART recommendation. Topics evaluated by the Airport Council International ACHI include cleaning and disinfection, maintaining distance in possible areas, and protection of staff. Then the room layout, communication to airplane passengers and aircraft passengers facilities. Evaluation is also carried out on the entire passenger area. For example, terminal access, check-in areas, security checks, boarding gates, lounges, commercial, F&B, to equipment such as aerobics, escalators and elevators, immigration areas and their facilities, baggage collection areas and arrival gates. Meanwhile, ATI World Director General Luis Felipe de Oliveira said that they had reviewed the evidence reported by the team in the field through the ATI team evaluation process. Soekarno Hatta International Airport was considered able to provide a safe airport for all airport service users. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany. I'm Yoko Kusumawati. Thank you for listening.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu. Maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chokuyou shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo fusegi mashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zhen que pei tai kou zhao. 以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播，我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus, cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overbrenging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhinderen Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we will present you a song by a beautiful singer, Aya Anjani. She is the daughter of keyboardist of legendary band God Bless, Yoki Suryo Prayogo. Even though her name is not yet famous as her father, Aya Anjani created many works. In 2019, Aya re-sang a hit song from the 1980s made famous by Chrisye. The song is titled Juwita, written by her late father and Junaedi S. The song was rearranged in order to commemorate 1 year after Yoki's death in 2018. The song Juwita was sung again by Aya with a more modern production approach without changing the arrangement and essence of the original song. Petra Sihombing and Jonathan Mono were also chosen to produce this song. Apart from that, this is one of Indonesia's masterpiece songs. She admitted at that time she was really into tracing past songs. Even though it is wrapped in modern arrangements, Aya wants the memory that represents the generation at that time to be felt. The hope is that this song can still represent every generation, with those who are new and who have lived with this song. Well, listener, here is Juwita, sung by Aya Anjani.
Mereka You are still listening to Voice of Indonesia, COVID-19 Disaster Response Radio. From Indonesia to the
It is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you on the next English program.